You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Byram needs a contract. He's got two more years. He's an unrestricted free agent, so Buffalo doesn't have to do anything here with two more years of team control. And whenever a team trades for a player like Buffalo did a couple years ago, you know they see value in him and they like him. So you always have to keep that as part of your overall thinking. But there is no doubt that his name is out there. There's just been an agent change, so that always leads to conversation about what does this mean. But there's no doubt his name is out there. There is no doubt they are gauging market value on him, and we'll see where this takes us. But there is definitely noise around the Byram name and the Buffalo Sabres.
Elliot Friedman there. It's 32 thoughts. I think most hockey fans pretty much read that like the Bible.
Read it, listen to it, learn it, love it.
You know it. And that's talking about, you know, Adams listening about Bowen Byram, and which is not surprising.
It's not surprising because all throughout the season, every time Paul Hamilton asked him about wanting to stay in Buffalo, he didn't really give a good answer.
That is right.
Not a good answer, but he would always give a non-answer.
Yeah.
And that's typically leaning toward bad, especially with, like, you know, the state of the team. It does look like Byram probably wants power play time.
Mm-hmm.
He's just on a roster with Rasmus Dahlin and Owen Power. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
And before he was with Cale Makar.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt, yeah.
I'm sorry. You're just not getting the time that you want on that. It's just bad draw. Sorry. I'm not moving Owen Power or Rasmus Dahlin off my power play.
Yeah.
I'm just not. And I'd be okay with employing two defensemen on a power play too. You don't need to have 4-1.
I'd like for Buffalo to do anything different on the power play.
If you have the Sabres, two defensemen in Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, tell me Dahlin ain't sniffing around the goal mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Throw Dahlin at left wing and see what happens.
But Dahlin is also
On the power play.
But Dahlin has gotten a little bit better, though, at being the point man, the quarterback of sorts, to where I also don't know if I can move him from there.
Put Byram on the wing. On the power play.
Byram did show he was willing to do that as well. But, again,
I did like Byram when he first got here with how much
he was moving.
He very much made the Buffalo power play look completely inept because he showed up from Colorado and you're like, oh, boy.
And it was a joy
in Nashville,
watch.
Yeah. That was hilarious.
Because you watch and you're just like,
he's moving around.
Wow.
He's in other players' spots because they're not moving. And it's like, oh, you guys really have an antiquated power play scheme.
I'm pretty sure one of them was Zemgus Girgensons, and he was just kind of baffled at what. No, it was Okposo. They were just baffled at what to do.
Yeah. And it was, oh, you guys run an antiquated power play. Good. Good. Cool. Byram, though, is interesting to me. I've been sitting here for how many months now saying something about Mitch Marner, Buffalo Sabre, love idea.
Oh, probably at least 4 or 5 months.
At minimum, it's been a couple.
Yeah.
And now you look at it and go, if they have to trade Bo and Byram. Yeah, offense is not the problem here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they have to trade Bo and Byram, offense might still be a problem here. What do you have to do sometimes to acquire a premium asset? Give up one. Byram makes that blow a lot easier to deal with. Right? I think that the Sabres would know how to cut bait here and try to sell with the relative value of him looking okay. If a team looks at his analytical numbers, yeah, we might have a problem here.
Yeah, just tell them don't do it.
And you could tell old heads to not do that. You could actually convince them very easily to not do that.
I think especially in hockey.
Yeah.
Especially in hockey.
You can get away with that. But it would open up another problem. This team already needs to add another defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
And while I do still confirm the belief that Rasmus Dahlin can play well with anyone next to him because he is Rasmus Dahlin and you do not have to do anything about that, they could put Rochester's Lord and Savior Cal Clegg next
there
to Rasmus Dahlin and they would be perfectly fine.
There it is.
Game 3 tonight, by the way, against Laval.
In Laval,
against Laval. Go win that thing. You could put anyone next to Rasmus Dahlin and probably be okay. At minimum, it's a net neutral game, or Dahlin has a couple of shifts where he doesn't look too good because he has to carry like Jacob Bryson.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting a line mate or a partner for Owen Power, because Byram showed well with Dahlin, which is, again, I just mentioned that. I could probably get away with stealing a plus playing with Rasmus Dahlin. I'd have to come off the bench mm-hmm. for a change, and Dahlin's on the rush, and they score a goal, but that's how I would do it. But I'd get a plus one for that. But it has to do with, you need to find someone for Power so that he can get yeah. more comfortable and grow. Because Power is heading toward the, all right, it's time to make the switch. Like, you're heading into jump year for a lot of defensemen, oftentimes. Because defensemen do take a little bit of a while.
Power yeah, but you're right. Like, this is the
year. But last year, Power started showing those flashes, especially in the later part of the year. And when I had, oddly enough, next to him, Jacob Bernard Docker, a defensively responsible right-handed shot.
It's kind of working.
It was kind of working. He was showing more of those flashes. He had a solid production season. Defensively was his problem. But you need someone there to help stabilize him
mm-hmm.
and allow him to play his best hockey, keep his mind off of it. If Byram leaves, that need becomes greater. And welcome to why Mitch Marner is the face of the ideal. I need the Sabres to show that they are aggressive. And you could still go inside Mitch Marner and have that problem. You want to know why? You have players that you can trade from the offense that, yeah, you don't want to, but you might have to part ways with. I love J.J. Paterka as a player. He's a fun, energetic player. He does have problems in the D-zone. He does have inconsistency to his game. He also could land you a skating mate for Owen Power by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And a quality one at that. He can land you a third defenseman on this team that can play on the first or second pair by himself. So if you sign a Mitch Marner, you can make that trade and feel a little bit better about yourself.
But at least for me, it would show they're doing things.
And that's the face of the ideal.
Yeah, it would just show they're doing
probably,
stuff.
Probably, and you know, analytic charts probably wouldn't like this. I'm not even fully in love with the idea, but I think the Sabres need to be players for Aaron Ekblad.
Now, Josh's a big fan. Josh's a big fan.
So, I do think that there's, you know, obviously your health concerns with Ekblad, but it's a right-handed shot that you could play next to Owen Power and have zero concerns.
I just, my concern, like you mentioned, it's the health concerns. They've just added a guy in a trade who already has massive health concerns in Josh Norris. We basically didn't get to see him play. I mean, he played a few games for Buffalo, don't get me wrong, but for most of it, you kind of forget he's even on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of us, including me, the big bonus of the Dylan Cousins trade was getting him off the roster.
And
so I almost forget at times that when Norris isn't playing, oh, yeah, that's right, he's there. My big thing with adding defensemen,
I
can't have the defense fall apart when Rasmus Dahlin gets hurt.
I also have a defenseman that was seen as a top four mm-hmm. and kept getting himself hurt.
Yeah.
Granted, ultimately, even the vision of him being a top four defenseman was wrong
mm-hmm.
in Matias Samuelsson. I don't know necessarily if Ekblad's the right idea. That's why I said even I don't feel great saying it.
Yeah.
Like, Josh, you could be all giddy you want in there. If he's playing 54 games, you're telling me that the Sabres' defensive core is healthy or is structured? No.
I don't think it's the best idea.
Oh, yeah, no. And with the Sabres, you have to talk about imperfect ideas because that's what it is. Even adding Mitch Marner is an imperfect idea. You're going to have to overpay him to do it. But that doesn't mean that it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you, Paul, but come on, buddy.
Speaking
add players like Mitch Marner because they only come around once every 10-ish years anyway.
Yeah.
Add a player like that because you move players down the roster. Add a player like that because then you could trade a Paterka easily to add more. A defenseman that can challenge to be the second best player on your defensive core. He could challenge Owen Power to being that second best defenseman. And Paterka can do that by himself in a trade deal. because he's young and he is ascending. And you could get the world for him right now. Not the world, but you know what I mean. So, yeah. Love you, Paul, but I had to say that.
It'll be interesting to keep an eye on this Bo Byram stuff.
Like it was like the itch that I needed to get to.
I get it. It'll be interesting, though, to keep up on this Bo Byram stuff. I have liked when Adams makes, quote-unquote, hockey trades. I think he's done very well with them. You've mentioned he's done very well also on moving off of players at the right time.
And Casey Mittelstadt. Dylan Cousins, I would even say it is the right time to do it because he's still got a player that should have production in him in Josh Norris.
We'll see, yep.
And now Bowen Byram. Is looking like that ideal of, okay, maybe we need to actually get rid of this player because it's not looking good.
Yeah. But ultimately, you're not missing too much with Casey Mittelstadt. It's not like, oh, God, how do we let that – no.
Immediately, I can think you're going to get a better trade return than what Colorado got from Boston for Casey Mittelstadt.
Who is floundering. That's fun.
So now, this doesn't necessarily have to do with play alone, where, yes, it does look like Byram has his struggles without Rasmus Dahlin.
His struggles. The numbers are not kind.
Yeah, they're not kind. I'm being nice here because I'm trying to trade him.
Oh, yeah, fair. Yeah. Forgot. Old heads don't look at the analytics.
Yeah.
You see all that red, ignore it.
Also, I'm being nice because I'm trying to trade him.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, it's one of the funniest things that I'll always hear from, like, anyone, really, of like, how pissed a fan base could be at a player?
Mm-hmm.
If anyone tries to suggest trading Matias Samuelsson, the answer is for what?
Yeah, what are you getting?
Other teams do have eyeballs, and they will see that he's not good. And this is something that historically has always happened. You hate a team.
Yeah, it's every fan base.
You hate a player, and the fan base gets mad saying, oh, you need to trade him. Well, okay, what are you getting? What team is saying, okay, yeah, I'll take the guy that you clearly think is garbage?
Yeah, right? It's where, like,
I want him?
It was always, like, the famous, like, trade ideas.
Great selling pitch.
I'm going to trade the three players that are all kind of bad in a second-round pick for the superstar. Like, that's always the fun, like, trade ideas.
And it's even just, oh, I just need this guy traded so he's off the roster. Again, great sales pitch you're making.
Yeah, right? Oh, I mentioned that with Dylan Cousins. It's why, like, they got Norris. I was like, cool. Great. Yeah. The positive here is Cousins is not on the roster.
Yes.
Like, everything else is a bonus.
But again, Cousins does inherently carry value. Byram, at his age, does inherently carry value.
He does.
And I'm not going to disparage him on the way out because I want to get something in return.
That makes sense. Makes sense.
Much like how I was kind of saying it about Dylan Cousins.
Yeah, like, right, we're gonna build him up in this last 2 or 3 weeks.
When did I say, leading up to the trade deadline, that he was pure garbage? Don't quote me on that. I don't know, and it would take a lot of work to find it because I'm not on here very often.
But we've all been there. We've all done it.
And I love every single one of you that does it because the answer is for bleeping what?
I mean, sometimes it happens, though.
It's emotional.
The worst part. But it's the worst part. It's like sometimes a team does make a big trade, and you're like, we gave up that? That's it? All right. Let's ride. Like, it happens every now and then.
It happens every now and then.
Not often, but every now and then.
Yes. But the Sabres saw something, and when Casey Mittelstadt got traded, I recognized that as they didn't sign a deal with him yet. Contractually, they know it's time.
Yeah.
And this is sounding like Byram.
It's the exact same situation.
But when Mittelstadt was coming due for his contract, everyone was getting extensions. There's the difference.
Well, everyone was getting extensions, and Adams even sounded like he was getting ready to give Mittelstadt an extension.
But it didn't happen, and it's like, okay, the writing's on the wall. It's not on his contract. It's on the wall.
Yeah.
There's no contract coming. He's going to be gone, and, like, yeah, that's going to sting a little bit because of the fact that at the time he was their best point producer. God.
See,
that season, 2 seasons ago, was haunting.
And I know it's GM speak. I know it's GM speak, but, like, Adams did make it sound like about 2 weeks before that they were prepared to give him a contract, that they were working towards that. And then, quote unquote, this deal just materialized and they're like, oh, cool, perfect. The Byram situation, the difference there is, like, no one feels confident that it's going to happen.
No one feels confident.
Byram is giving non-answers. I think Adams is borderline giving non-answers. Like, he's already, to many people, I'd imagine, kind of already, like, you don't think he'll be on this roster opening night next year.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because right now what the team has is control. He is an RFA. Is he? I want to make sure of that. But either way, you have an opportunity there to make sure you get what you can for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're also in a position to get what you can for him, but you've also you've had enough time to figure RFA out if he's going to work.
So
that's the you've had enough time to figure out if he's going to work. He is not somebody you can put away from Rasmus Dahlin. His numbers are dreadful when he's away from Dahlin, and I know we're trying to build him up, but like that's ultimately the big part is that he does not look good away from the team's best defenseman. Now, when they're together, it can be very fun at times.
It's not only very fun at times; it's good hockey.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm selling is, hey, this is an ultimate, like, he can skate 25 minutes a game for you. He's got to have the right partner, but he can skate 25 minutes a game for you. My problem is contractually, he's not signing. He's an RFA. He's 24. So there's team control even when you acquire him, by the way.
Yep.
And he almost averaged a point every other game.
Yeah.
It was almost half a point per game, 0.46.
So, he is a very tradable asset. He's a very tradable asset.
0.46 PPG, which according to somebody on Twitter meant power play guy, apparently.
Love that. But I am curious to see what Adams can get for him. Or if Byram is partnered with the 9th overall pick, a prospect would have you in a much bigger trade. Or if it's what Adams has kind of become more known for with the Sabres, which is a player-for-player trade, plus maybe like a prospect here or two. This screams
player-for-player trade.
It does.
I have something that I can't get signed, but you need. And you get control.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something I need.
Yeah. And it works out.
And it works out. The problem is that it's a redundant good if you're trying to upgrade the defenseman. You need to grab another piece and make it happen.
That's the tough part with Byram is that that's already the big need on the team. Already defense. The need.
So that's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you figure out a way to make that work? And the Sabres kind of did that with Cousins for Norris. A 2C for a 2C on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Awesome. And my only problem with Adams has typically been do it more. You need to do it here.
And it sounds like from Elliot Friedman, he's already kind of at least preparing to work the phones a lot more.
Yes. So you wanted to say something, by the way, about the Eastern Conference Finals. We were talking the entire break, by the way, about how I just hate what has happened with the rules.
Yeah.
And by the way, I have some numbers for you. I went back and did this. Ever since the change to in 2014 to this new playoff format that they currently have, the Metropolitan Division has not really shown up that much.
No, which is unsurprising based off looking at
since
the playoffs,
2014,
right?
There have been 4 representatives of the Metropolitan Division, the last one showing up in 2018. And as a matter of fact, the Atlantic Division technically had a Stanley Cup Finals matchup in 2021.
Give me a second. I'm trying to think of who it was. Tampa was in it, right?
Tampa won it against...
Oh, Montreal. Yeah, no. Yeah, I thought that's what it was. I'm like, that's not right.
Metropolitan Division. Can you show up for once, please? Because, by God, it has been bad ever since 2018 when the Capitals won it.
Yeah.
It's been Boston, Tampa against Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa, Florida, probably Florida.
Gonna be Florida.
We just need to nerf the state of Florida.
We're in the golden age of Florida hockey right now. I want them to go to 1 through 8. I do want that. My problem is in where I am giving Florida a lot of credit, and I guess maybe to the Atlantic Division a lot of credit here is they're just simply better. Their teams are better than the Met teams.
And the teams can be better.
Maybe we get less Metropolitan teams. I don't know how much that ultimately is going to change.
I want my best games to be the final
I don't disagree. And that's where I want 1 through 8. I don't disagree. But where, like with football, I think seeding matters a ton. I think it matters a lot. Why? It's one game.
Yeah.
It is one game. Where with baseball, with basketball, and with hockey, the best teams
typically win those sets.
Typically
of 7.
Win out. Like as much as the NHL likes to really and it is right for the first round, a lot of parity. Best teams get through, baby.
Except they don't. Sometimes they don't.
Florida's gonna make a third straight Stanley Cup final. They are one of the best teams in hockey. Inarguably they're one of the best teams in hockey.
I still look at the fact that like Dallas-Colorado was a first round matchup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. It does take away some of these best teams. But ultimately, I think they then would just be playing each other later. I think you'd lose out on some of these. And hockey is still a crazy sport. I'm not disagreeing. But Florida's going to make a third straight Stanley Cup final. They are one of the best teams in hockey. They're proving it year in and year out. Tampa went back-to-back Stanley Cup final wins. Colorado had their run. Vegas has been around forever. They finally won a cup. Like, the best teams are still winning.
And here's the thing. If you went 1 through 8, by the way, the teams that are gone, 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8 in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
4 and 5 are your matchup for the Eastern Conference final. Spare me.
Yeah, I don't like the seedings.
Yeah, and in the West, 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matchup between 3 and 6. And honestly, the Carolina Hurricanes, I genuinely believe we're just gift wrapped a conference final appearance.
Yeah, they got really lucky in terms of their seeding. They did, in terms of the teams they got to play.
Right.
Because they didn't play New Jersey, did they?
They did.
So New Jersey opening round and then Washington. It's pretty nice. It's pretty good.
New Jersey, who, by the way, finished with less points than Ottawa.
Oh,
but
really?
They get an automatic playoff spot because more rivalries. And by the way, rivalries have been created through the playoffs relatively organically, Gary.
It's where a lot of these rivalries are made, is playoff matchups.
Oh, my God.
Now, you sometimes do get divisional playoff matchups, and those can be fun. I'm not disagreeing with that. But like tonight, the Eastern Conference Final in basketball is the Pacers-Knicks. They've never been in the same division. All of their rivalry comes from the playoffs.
And it's natural. It's organic. It's through the playoffs. It's through, I want to get to the finals.
Mm-hmm. And especially, too, you get those organics much more in series sports. In playoffs where you're playing maybe 7 games against each other and it is high intensity and there's a lot of stress. NFL, I think it is much easier to build the division rivalries because it's one game. And you're going to play each other twice and you've only got a handful of games. It's also why I think the regular season is more popular, you know, relative to the rest of the leagues, because there's so few games. Every game means so much. But when you look at these divisional rivalries, they don't need to be created in the playoffs. They'll happen naturally. You'll get there. I promise you, you'll get there. You know, teams might hate each other if they play each other again. Edmonton, Florida. It might be really cool if they wind up playing each other in the Stanley Cup final again. You know, Toronto, Boston was already created, but it got better in the playoffs. You didn't really need to be in the Atlantic. It just kind of happened. It was what it was. I just, for me, as much as I would change the 1 versus 8, I think the real conversation there, outside of it would give us better playoff matchups later, which would be awesome. Ultimately, we're still kind of getting rid of the Metropolitan teams. They still all kind of don't square up to the Atlanta teams at all. Florida, I still think, is in this position. They are just better than everybody. And that was ultimately my big point at the start of the hour. I think we have to start giving them credit as one of the best teams built in the last 15 years.
And you're right.
They are incredible.
They are. It just, I don't know how the, like, it just seems to me like, I don't understand how it is getting to such an imbalance here. Like, yeah, Washington ended up with the best record in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that's just because the rest of the Metro is kind of garbage.
Yeah, oh, probably. It's bad roster builds.
The Buffalo Sabres.
Sport.
The Buffalo Sabres had an incredible 3-game series against Washington. They went 2-1, and they blew the doors off them in victories. The Sabres.
Yeah.
The Sabres did that to the best team in the Metro.
But I mean, like this is true in every sport. In the NFL, we went through, 14 years of the NFC winning Super Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just straight.
And then the Sabres did go full Sabres and get Philadelphia this year.
But we've had that in every sport. It's years, it's flows where, yeah, like there's a certain division, certain conference, they're just not up to snuff. In the NBA right now, most of the superstars are in the West.
But I don't need one of these divisions getting an automatic Eastern Conference qualifier if they're not up to snuff right now. That's my thing.
No, and that's more where it comes into seeding. Ultimately, we'd still get rid of these teams, but also Carolina still might make a run to the Eastern Conference semifinals. You know, especially
that's
with
fine if they're semifinals.
Yeah, but especially with how seeding goes, it might happen.
I think that the Eastern Conference final happened.
Yeah, it happened already.
And it's weird for me to say that Toronto was probably that.
I think, though, that happens in a lot of sports where we end up making that conversation of, well, the round past was actually the conference finals. So the round past was actually the championship series or championship game. 803-0550, the number to call. Tony, Randy, we'll get to you here if you hang on the other side. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. We have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card for just one low price of $129. Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th hole, and golf course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf. And score deals at Rick Zurak's Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card at getmyperks.com. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer.
We ready for some rapid fire?
Yeah, we're hanging here on WGR, and we're going to get connected to our fans right now, starting with Roy on the line. Roy, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
Doing well.
You got a lot going.
Excellent. Just got a couple things. One, on the Owen Power thing, and then even talking, I love the idea of moving Paterka to get another defenseman, and we're talking about getting a defenseman to pair with Power. When we look at the analytics for Power, and we talk about how he got better playing with Bernard Docker, do we ever have any analytics that look at when games matter versus when games don't? Like, when you know you're not going to make the playoffs and you're playing against backup goaltenders for the last 2 months and you're playing against guys who might be taking nights off, like, I don't know if I'm as impressed as I am. I have quarter seasons. I went to 15 games this year, and even when he looked good, I think we know what we get out of him. He's going to be a Tyler Myers guy, and that's fine, but at $9 million a year, I'd almost rather have two of those guys at five that I bring in. And then the last thing, if you guys could address that, the second thing was, well, how about on the reseeding for the playoffs? I love the 1-8 idea would be great, but I think there's even one better than that. Why not go back to the way they did it in the 70s and just seed it 1-16?
Ooh.
If Calgary and Edmonton play for the Cup, Calgary and Edmonton play for the Cup. If the Rangers play Boston for the Cup, give me the two best teams. Enough of weak divisions making it through and getting to a conference finals. I think it would be so much more fun for hockey, and the upsets would be so much more meaningful too when they happened. If you saw a 15 knock off a 2 or a 14 knock off a 3, it would be that much more meaningful, and it would reverberate all the way through if you did it that way.
Roy, so thanks for the.
Interested to hear your thoughts on it, guys.
Yeah, Roy, thanks for the call.
My thoughts are that's a spicy boy.
I want to get to that, but let's start with Owen Power. The analytics point, no, I don't think we have anything on that. It is that I think is always a fun point to bring up with any sport is, hey, you're out of the playoffs and you're playing better. Does that quote-unquote really count? The Sabres, I think, also had, 2 years ago when they, lit the league on fire. Goal scoring-wise, it was like, yeah, but how many backup goalies are you playing? Like, is that really sustainable, or is this more you're getting the treatment of a bottom feeder? That's always something that's brought up. I think Power, though, I don't want to say if he's necessarily a Tyler Myers type. I think
we'll see it this year.
Yeah.
When those types of players, especially defensemen, like I said, I saw flashes from Power where I'm like, come on, this is not a player to get rid of yet.
Mm-hmm.
And because we saw this years ago with Dahlin.
Right.
How many people were very quick to the trigger of, okay, maybe this guy's not who we all thought he would be. That might happen here with Power. Of people are saying, maybe this guy's not who we thought he would be. And I know part of it is because he's gigantic and he doesn't crush people. But
he does need to get bigger, though.
He does.
He does. He's 6'6". He can't be 185.
Well, yes. But also, he just needs to play smarter in his own zone.
Yeah.
And typically, that comes with time for a number one overall pick at defenseman or a high-drafted defenseman. Hedman became Hedman only after 4 or 5 years. Ekblad became Ekblad, and it didn't happen right away.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that happens with defensemen that are taken early. Stay the course. That's all I'll say about it.
And yeah, get him a partner that works, what have you. The 1-16 idea.
You heard my reaction the minute you said it.
I love that for one reason and one reason. There's
unique
other reasons.
Matchups.
But my favorite reason, unique matchups, yes. The only league that would be doing it. It would be genuinely different from everybody else. And to Roy's point, too, like if you did get a 15 over 2, it's like the NCAA tournament. that all of a sudden becomes the story of the tournament.
As
and they don't
said.
Have to necessarily be a bad team. Like 15 seeds, it was always kind of this feeling, and this, it, I've talked a lot about it with the NCAA tournament. We like it for about 15 minutes, and then we're like, okay, my bracket's busted, get out. Like, where's my Dukes, where's my Kentuckys, where's my North Carolina? These teams could still be good and could go on a run. They just happen to be a little bit lower on the rung.
Tell me that Minnesota doesn't have a chance against Washington this year.
There we go. And so it all of a sudden becomes way more interesting.
Oddly enough, 1 versus 16. Oh, wait. Hang on. I missed it.
Oh, no. So now Minnesota-Washington. That was kind of cool. I like that
ready?
Idea.
It would have been it would have been Montreal against Winnipeg.
There we go.
And the Devils.
Actually, I like that a lot.
Versus Washington.
I like all of those a lot, actually.
Montreal takes on Vegas in a Western Conference rematch.
Ew.
No, Western being the question because of...
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's what it was a couple of years ago with the bubble.
Yep.
And the All-Canadian Division.
I like that. I like that idea a lot. It's different from everybody else. And because... You
oh
do
my God!
Have first
Minnesota
round
would
parity.
Play. Minnesota would play Toronto.
Oh yeah, give me that. Because I mentioned the NHL doesn't have as much parity after the first round as maybe you'd like to see. Because the best teams, I do still think, make it to the Cup Finals. They make it to the Stanley Cup, what have you. But those first round matchups would be a ball to
They'd
watch.
Be so cool.
Next up, Randy on the line. Randy, you're on WGR. How are we doing today?
Gentlemen, good morning. First and foremost, Derek, I want to say shout out North Collins Fighting Eagles. I'm a big advocate for the schools out there, huge Angola fan myself. Shout out to Pat Mix real quick, fighting in UFC 317, Angola native, coming up in a few weeks. Very exciting stuff. I will say, guys, I'm a diehard Bills fan, huge bandwagon Sabres fan, and we've got a few buddies that are Maple Leaf fans. I'm sure we all do. I watched that game the other night. Oh, my God. I don't know much about hockey, but I know if one team's in your end for 55 minutes, that's not
– no, it's not good.
So that's no good. But
reminds me of the Sabres.
I felt like I was – it was unfortunate. So, but back on the Bill train, totally off topic. I know we're on a hot hockey topic right now. But, man, I just got to say, guys, when the schedule – I mean, I'm going back a week now. If the Bills, the one seed's right there, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. If the last 5 years, if they could have just three out of the last 5 years, one more win here or there, I truly believe they would have went to the Super Bowl with the one seed. It's right there. It's for the taking. Go Sabres. Go Bills. God bless.
Thanks for the call, Randy.
Whoa.
He dropped off. It's okay.
Okay.
Got the point. Love it. Love that you said you're a bandwagon Sabres fan. That's painful, and I'm sorry.
Also,
that hurts.
That takes stones to be a bandwagon Sabres fan. You're
does.
Joining us at our low point,
I mean,
as Deadpool said.
Respect. Hat tip to you.
By the way, the not Derek with the North Collins thing. That's Josh.
It's Josh.
Also, we're the Eagles, not the Fighting Eagles.
I'll like fight you.
Point that out.
Eagle.
It's a lot of eagles. My mascot was also an eagle in high school.
If I Mine pick a fight better, with you, probably. You're a fighting eagle. So
probably. On the Bill schedule thing, Warren Sharp yesterday joined Shopin' the Bulldog. And he had mentioned, I think a lot of us have talked about it, they have on paper the fifth easiest schedule. It does seem to be pointing to the Bills need to get the one seed this year. And I do argue the Bills specifically, if they got the one seed with the injuries they had picked up in years prior in those wild card matchups or late in the season, that resting instead of having to play what ultimately is kind of a foregone conclusion, the two is probably going to beat the seven. I think that would have helped them along the way. Maybe also being home, but we've also seen the Bills lose home playoff games, so I don't want to lean on that one. I think it's far more the injury and avoiding those potential injuries.
It's also, it's just the one thing in the regular season you haven't accomplished yet.
Yeah, right.
It's all it is.
Literally, it's the one thing in the regular season you haven't done yet.
Yeah.
You've won a ton, you've scored a ton, you just got to get the one seed. Last up for this segment, James is on the line. James, you're on WGR.
Hi. Morning. I just want you guys to pump the brakes on Mitch Marner a little bit. I know that I know you've got your own jobs listening, talking here, and I don't know if you've been listening too much to the Toronto media, but like, guy scores a bunch of points against weak opponents during the regular season, doesn't stick up for his own. There's no grit, there's no hard backbone there, and then in the playoffs he appears. I know it's a different situation. Toronto, 9 years straight into the playoffs, and Buffalo's a little not. But there's a lot of talk in Buffalo about lack of grit, lack of show up when your own are getting roughed up. I'm not sure that Mitch is exactly what you're looking for. Is he really?
James, I will counter with this. I appreciate the thoughts, but Toronto became a playoff team the minute Mitch Marner arrived. He's an all-world talent. And I know that there's plenty of people within Toronto's fan base that have soured on Mitch Marner at this point. I don't need Mitch Marner to get in there. I need Mitch Marner to be protected. And the rest of the team does seem to have the moxie at this point that they're doing that. Save for a couple of names. Also, I want to break a playoff drought, man.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're talking as a person that has made the playoffs 9 straight years. I would kill to be in your position. And part of killing includes handing Mitch Marner a boatload of money.
So I mean, that's why a lot of Buffalo fans are going to be in on that. There may be the playoff struggles. I've mentioned this a lot.
Players like Mitch Marner do not hit free agency very often.
But I've mentioned this when talking about Marner. I will deal with the playoff issues when my team is in the playoffs. Before that, I'm just trying to break what is, at this point, a well past historically long playoff drought for
also,
hockey.
Also, Marner, it's on his mind. He's a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go ahead and pretend that Mitch Marner not getting it done for his hometown team doesn't take a toll on him.
Mm-hmm. Getting connected to our fans, it is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Going to take a quick timeout here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. Get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. This is WGR.
So we were wrong.
Oh my God, we were. I wasn't wrong. I didn't say anything about would it or would it not get banned. But the tush push stays. Which means we get
push
another.
On, to quote the Eagles.
Yes. By the way, it requires 75% support to pass. It does not. Two votes short of the 75% needed. So tushes will continue to be pushed in the year 2025. And again, does it change anything really if it does get banned for the two teams that are most successful? No.
Albert Breer, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie, assistant GM John Ferrari, and center Jason Kelsey.
Legend.
Albert Breer's legend. It's center Jason Kelsey. Spoke for around 45 minutes in the general session. Kelsey's speech focused on the mechanics of the play and how, in his view, it is not overtly dangerous. Among the others to address the room were Dallas' Jerry Jones, San Francisco's Jed York, and Buffalo's Terry Pegula.
Terry, I need you talking to Mitch Marner, not to the NFL.
not about the tush push. I do find it interesting, though.
Terrence.
And this will be my last thought on this. I do find it interesting that ultimately it was the health of the play, because that's where Kelsey's speech was going.
Again, I'm going to say it for maybe the 100th time at this point. Stop lying to everyone. Don't stop lying to yourselves, okay? If you want this banned, if you really want this banned, just be real. You're using non-evidence for injuries.
Mm-hmm.
To point out that it's a dangerous play. And in fact, there is nothing supporting that claim. You are lying. Be real. Say that the play just looks bad.
Yeah, that's about it. But now it is.
That was my final words, and I'm glad we don't have to talk about it for a whole year.
For a whole year. Yeah, that's right. It's going to get brought back. It's absolutely going to get brought back. But yes, the tush push is going to stay. And with that, that is going to do it for me and Derek. As coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.